We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
All right, welcome to Redemption Church. While they're getting the camera set up and the microphones adjusted and everything, I wanted to briefly share with you how I came to be delivering this message today, because I find it amusing. It might be a little bit of inside baseball, but deal with it. I got the microphone. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Chris and I were discussing this sermon series, and we were throwing around ideas about the different sermons that could be a part of it. And he said, "So which one do you think you could preach?" And I said, "Well, I'd be comfortable preaching the preparedness sermon." And he said, "Great. Sounds great. You're week three."
Week three.
All right. Nailed it. And so I was all ready. Everything's good. By the way, welcome to week two of our First Responders sermon series. Pastor Chris gave me a call on Friday and said, "Hey, you know, do you think you could preach this week?" And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I felt bad telling Chris no. So I was like, "Yeah, I could be ready to preach on Sunday." So long story short, I wish I had a sermon written up for you, but we're going to go with it and see. Just kidding. I got one. We're good. Preparedness. That's what we're going to be talking about today. All right. And it's going to be great. So I'm so glad to see you in the house of God. I'm so glad I get to share this message with you. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here at Redemption Church. If you should ever need care, please get in touch with me. And for those of you watching online, thank you for checking us out. Please share it if you find this message edifying, and leave a reaction, a like, swipe right, something, to let us know you're out there. Yeah, or a comment, preferably nice. But if you don't leave, if you don't react in some way, I will refuse to believe that you actually watched it. All right. So what's the name of our sermon series?
First responders.
Yes. First responders are the first people to respond or to take action after an emergency.
Yes.
We usually think of people like police and firefighters and paramedics that come in when something's happened and they get right to work. But normal, average, everyday people can be first responders as well. If someone's in the right place at the right time and they see trouble happening and they can step in and get rid of the problem or do something to help, you could be a first responder. In fact, Jesus is the first responder, and we're called to be like him, so we're called to be first responders.
That's right.
Amen. So, if we're going to be first responders, there's one very important detail. First responders have to be prepared. When paramedics or police show up on the scene, they need to be ready. They need to know what they're doing. They need to be ready to handle whatever comes up. Like, imagine how awkward it would be if the ambulance pulled up and the guy got out and said, "Oh, hey, what? I've never heard of that before. What's your problem? Oh, choking. They trained me on what to do when that happens. That's okay. I got this ambulance full of equipment. Something's got to help you out. Is this the time for the panels that zap? Should I use this now? No? Oh, it's okay. I forget how to turn that on anyway." That'd be awful. That would make the emergency worse, right? Right. First responders need to be prepared. They need to be ready. They train very hard. And so if we are going to be first responders, we need to be prepared. So today we're going to be talking about emergency preparedness. Now really, we should all be prepared for emergencies. And in some ways we are. At my work, we have periodic fire drills and tornado drills so that if something really bad were to happen, we all kind of have an idea of what to do and where to go to be safe. So we all need some amount of emergency preparedness. We never know when we're going to face an emergency. In fact, this week, Hurricane Dorian wreaked havoc in the Bahamas and all up the East Coast of the United States. Lord be with all the people impacted by that hurricane. Hopefully, the people in its path were prepared. a lot of effort goes into preparing for an oncoming hurricane. I grew up in Florida, and I remember preparing for hurricanes. You got to put the tape on your windows, or if you're really fancy, you got shutters that you got to like bolt into place. You got to make sure you've got enough water, you've got enough food, but it doesn't need to be refrigerated because the power's probably going to go out. You got to make sure if you got an electric generator that you've got enough gas for it. There, you got to make sure you got all your medications lined up. There's a lot that goes into preparing for just that one specific type of emergency. I'm also especially qualified to talk to you about preparedness because not only have I prepared for hurricanes, but I was also in the Boy Scouts.
Oh, yes.
Boom. And so some of you may be familiar with the Boy Scout motto, do a good turn daily. Oh, just kidding. That's the slogan. The motto is be prepared. Be prepared. Boy Scout humor. Excellent. All right. And it is fortuitous because September is National Preparedness Month. They're getting weird with some of these months nowadays, but it is, for real. I didn't make that up. September is National Preparedness Month, and you can find out more about it if you go to www.ready.gov. It gives you tips and stuff on emergency preparedness. I'm cracking wise a little bit here, but emergency preparedness is serious business. We need to be prepared to face emergencies when they come up. So, what are you preparing for? Turn to somebody around you and ask them, what are you preparing for? Or to put it another way, what will you be ready for? You can look at it that way. What will you be ready? What will you be prepared to handle? So today, we're going to focus in on spiritual emergency preparedness. All right? Because we want to be spiritual first responders, so we need some spiritual emergency preparedness. What is a spiritual emergency? That's probably a good place to start. How about this? When you or someone around you is in danger of falling out of faith, of backsliding, of losing their faith, is that a spiritual emergency? Yeah, that needs to get fixed right away. How about this? When you find out that someone does not have faith in Jesus Christ, is that a spiritual emergency? I would say so, because they are an eternal being, but they're not preparing for an eternal life with Christ. That's an emergency. That needs to get fixed. In a way, you could look at it this way. What emergency isn't a spiritual emergency? What emergency wouldn't benefit from the presence of Jesus Christ in that situation, helping and healing and bringing peace? What situation wouldn't benefit from prayer? Here's a more specific one. How about when someone openly challenges your faith? Is that a spiritual emergency? It could be. You may recall from a couple months ago, our scripture memory passage was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We are called in Scripture to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have in Christ. So we need to be prepared for situations like that.
Yes.
Well, how about this one for a spiritual emergency? What about Jesus' return? It'll be an emergency if you haven't prepared for it. Let me tell you that. All right, Jesus himself talks about it in Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 36. He says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Verse 37, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Verse 38, "For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark." Verse 39, "And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Now, they could have been prepared. It says they knew nothing about what would happen, but they could have.
Yeah.
if they'd only listened to Noah and to God. Noah knew what was going to happen, but they didn't want to know about it. And so they didn't. They just went on about their daily life. It was like any other day. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. It was just another Sunday until it all changed. Well, that's how it's going to be when Jesus comes again. It could be any particular day. And if you're not preparing for it, if you're not getting ready, it's going to catch you off guard and it's not going to go real well. So Jesus continues in verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus tells us to be ready, to get prepared. So we need some spiritual emergency preparedness. Now, you may be saying to yourself, yeah, but didn't Jesus also say, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own? Yeah, he did say that. He said that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. But what he was saying there was that he doesn't want us to be anxious about our daily needs, worrying about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. But he does want us to be spiritually prepared. He calls us to be spiritually prepared. In Galatians, it puts it another way. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. See, we're all preparing for something. But if you're only preparing for earthly things, for the things of this world, for fleshly things, eventually we're going to reap destruction. It's not going to lead to salvation. It's not going to lead to a good place. But if we're sowing spiritual things, if we're preparing for spiritual things, then that will lead to eternal life. So that's where we need to be focusing our efforts. So, to that end, I've been told that alliteration helps people remember the points of your message. So today I am prepared to present to you the three P's of preparation. All right? Yeah. Penitence. Piety. Perspicacity. There's a lot of P words out there, all right? Purple. Polyhedron. Pensacola. Pepsi-Cola. Prius, pre-pressed plumber pants. There's a lot of P word, pelican. None of these are the three P's of preparation, okay? Yeah. And I will apologize in advance. Please pardon me if I pop my P's in the microphone too much. But these are important. The three P's of preparation. Are you ready? Number one, priorities. Everybody say priorities. Priorities. Number two, pack. Everybody say pack, pack. And three, persistence. Everybody say persistence, yes. Priorities, pack, and persistence. Let's take a look at them. Number one, priorities. In order to prepare, it has to be a priority for you. You have to care about it to be motivated to prepare for something. And your actions demonstrate where your priorities lie. You might think something is a priority for you, but you can take a look at your life and tell, was that thing really a priority or not? So, doomsday preppers. Have you ever heard of these people? Yeah, I think they had a TV show about them at one point. I've actually been working on my own comic book character idea about a doomsday prepper who's also a physician. His name is Dr. Prepper. He comes from Dublin, Texas. But that's beside the point. Doomsday preppers. So these folks, they're constantly getting ready for doomsday, for like the end of the world. They want to be ready if everything breaks. They want to be fine. So they can purify their own water. They can grow their own food. They can generate their own electricity. They can make their own clothes. They can treat their own illnesses. They want to be totally self-sufficient so that when the whole world breaks and shuts down, they're fine. They shake it off. It's no problem. Well, you can tell by the way they live. It's hard work doing all this prep, but you can tell it is a priority for them to be ready and to be safe and sound because they do all this work all the time, constantly. You can tell that is their number one priority. Our actions demonstrate our priorities. Jesus tells us what our priorities should be. He tells us we should seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then all the rest will be given to us.
Yes.
But is our spiritual preparedness and our relationship with God a priority? We can look at our life and see, does it show up? Does it make a mark? So I'd like to share a quick story about my son Lazarus. I love sharing stories about Lazarus. So this happened here at Redemption Church a couple years ago, back when we were in the old space. I had been scheduled to do the greeting in the service that day. And when the time came, I was actually holding Lazarus, and he didn't really want to be set down. And so I was like, okay, buddy, I guess you can come with me up on stage. Hey, can you say welcome? And he said, welcome. I said, okay, great, you can help me out. And I got up there, and I said, hey, everybody, welcome to Redemption Church. It's great to see you. Laser, can you say welcome? And he said, welcome. And he heard his voice over the PA system. And then he started staring at that microphone. And then it happened faster than I could react. But all of a sudden, he reached out and he grabbed the microphone and pulled it to himself. And there was something he wanted to say. He had to say something over the intercom. And I didn't even have time to think about it. I should have been terrified because you don't know what's going to come out of this kid's mouth. My daddy stinks. What's about to happen? No. So he had some message that he really wanted to say in the church. Jesus loves you. That's what he said.
Excellent.
Unprompted. Like, he realized that through this microphone, he could communicate to every person in the room that this microphone was going to amplify whatever he says. And that was the burning message in him that he wanted to share. Man, I wish I was like that.
Yeah.
Weren't we? I mean, I wish that we were all like that. You could tell what his priorities were in that moment. So, what do our actions show to be the highest priorities in our life? Now, for those of you here today, there's a lot of different things you could be doing in this time right now. But you chose to come and spend this time with us here in worship and fellowship. So you've demonstrated that this is a priority for you at this time. Those of you watching online, you took the time out to click on the video and watch it. So I appreciate you taking that time, unless it auto-played and you're asleep in your chair. But even so, God bless you. But how does the rest of our life demonstrate what our priorities are? Do you know more scripture verses or more sports statistics? Which is a higher priority in your life? Which is more important to you? Spending time reading God's word, spending time in prayer, or rewatching for the seventh time a sitcom that you've loved to binge watch on Netflix? What does your life demonstrate to be priorities for you? When you're driving in traffic, do you speak words of blessing and edification? Or is it a higher priority for you to express yourself with the most colorful language at your disposal? How does your life demonstrate your priorities? So why are priorities important? Well, if it's not a priority for you, you probably won't do it. You won't prepare. Something else will be a higher priority, and you'll direct your efforts toward that. And if your faith is not a priority for you, you can easily lose it. And I mean, that's true for all of us. You can look back to Jesus' disciples. Look back at Peter. Man, he had the words. He knew Jesus was his priority. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. Even if I have to die, I'm on your team. This is you and me. We're good. Hey, then Jesus goes to trial and people start saying to him, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Haven't I seen you with him? And he's, no, 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 no. I don't, who? I've never met him. I don't know him. I've never met him in my life. In that moment, it demonstrated that he wasn't prepared. And it wasn't a priority. His life was more important for him than Jesus in that moment. But he came around. All the disciples did. And you can tell by their later life that Jesus and the kingdom of God was their highest priority, because most of the disciples ended up giving their lives because of their faith in Jesus. They were put to death because of their faith. But Jesus Christ was more important to them than their very lives. So that's where we need to be. He needs to be our number one priority. Hopefully none of us ever are put in a situation where we have to give our life in order to maintain our faith in Jesus Christ. But what if it became a little less convenient to worship Jesus? What if it became a little less comfortable to go to church? What if it became a little less legal to go to church? Would your faith hold up? Is Jesus a high enough priority for you to keep you going and worshiping and serving the Lord? That might sound sort of far-fetched. Like, come on, this is America. It's never going to be illegal to go to church. You don't know. Things can change. I'm sure it seemed unthinkable to the people in Tsarist Russia right before the communists took over. But shortly thereafter, it was illegal to go to church. But some still did. Pastor Vitaly Kiesel was with us 2 weeks ago, and he shared a story about his great-grandfather. His great-grandfather put Jesus at a higher priority than his freedom, because it was illegal to own a Bible at that time in Russia or the USSR. But he owned one. He treasured the Word of God. He prioritized it. He needed it. And they found out he had it. And so he was due to be arrested. And somehow he found out that they were coming to arrest him. And so in the time he had, he tore out a bunch of pages of that Bible and stuffed them into his shoes and his socks. So even in prison, he could still have the Word of God. That was his priority. That's what he wanted, what he was going to focus his effort on. He prioritized Jesus. And Pastor Kiesel tells another story. I believe it was his grandfather, but you can fact check me later. Back in those days in Russia, property ownership was a big deal, because it was very difficult to get a piece of property. It was very hard. If you were not a property owner, it was very difficult to become a property owner. And so if you happened to own a house, you would hold on to it for dear life. That was precious to you. Well, Pastor Kiesel's grandfather felt the call to start a church, but he needed money to do it. And so he had a house, and he sold it in order to get money to start this church. The call that God put on his life was more important to him than being a property owner, than the security of owning property. But that was okay. Jesus was the priority. In fact, he prioritized other people's faith, because he was being called to share the gospel with other people through this church. That was more important to him. That's where we need to be. Faith was a priority for the people in Pastor Kiesel's family. And we need to make spiritual preparedness a priority in our lives by acting like it's a priority, by living out our faith. It needs to be a priority for us, because there really is nothing more important than Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the P's of preparation. Number two, pack. Doomsday preppers have a lot of equipment. They need a lot of stuff to purify their water, to generate electricity, to make clothes, to plant and grow food. They need a lot of stuff. And they got a lot of guns, too, let me tell you, to defend their stuff. They got a lot of equipment. It's all a part of this preparedness. They need all this stuff to be ready. Some people have an emergency kit in their house, or some people have a bug out bag that if something bad happens, you can just grab this thing, and if you got that, you got most everything you need to be okay. You can just toss that in your car and you're fine. Having an emergency kit isn't a bad idea. When preparing for a hurricane, you have to get your supplies together. You got to get your water and your food and your gasoline. There's a bunch of stuff you need. So, what is in your spiritual emergency preparedness kit? What have you packed? What do we need to pack? Bible, easy one. Let's start there, all right? But do you read it or just own it? Like having it tucked away in the pack, never to be called on except in the case of an emergency, that's not so great. Because in an emergency, you want to have the most critical items, the most important things with you at all times. You want to have them close at hand so you can use them whenever you need to. They need to be easy to access and easy to use. Do you carry the Word of God in you? Because what if your Bible's someplace else? Do you still have the Word of God with you when you need to call upon it? Can you cite some scripture? Can you recite a verse or two? We need to have God's Word with us and in us so we can access it at all times, in all situations. And we don't have to say, oh, hold on a minute, let me just Google. What's that verse that says, all things through Christ? No, we've got to be able to deliver God's Word when it's called for, when it's needed. All right, what else? Prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool in a spiritual emergency, and we have to be ready to use it. We need to practice it frequently. They say that when you have a hammer, everything kind of looks like a nail, right? Well, we need to get to a place where we see every situation as one that could benefit from prayer. Prayer is a pretty powerful tool. We need to have an eye for how we could apply it to every situation. And then we have to be willing to apply it to every situation. It's not enough to look around and say, oh man, they could probably use some prayer. No. When we recognize that, we need to be motivated to go and use it. And so we need to practice that in our lives. We need to be people who are willing to pray. All right, so what else? Well, how about the armor of God? That sounds like something that can get you pretty prepared. Yeah. The Bible would agree. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, we got to put on the armor of God in preparation for the day of evil. Because bad times are going to come. In this world, you will have trouble. But if God offers you his suit of armor, man, I want that on me when that trouble comes. All right. Well, let's read a little further. Verse 14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. We need to be held together by the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We need the truth of Scripture. We need biblical truth holding all of our equipment together. And we need righteousness over our heart. Righteousness is right standing with God. We need to be right with God. Verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We need the gospel with us, and it needs to be preparing us to go and share this message. It needs to give us readiness to come and tell the good news to the world around us. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We need a strong, impenetrable faith so that when the evil one attacks us, when bad things happen. And he comes in and says, ha, 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 see, maybe you're not that good of a Christian. Maybe God doesn't love you. Maybe God's not even real. Look at all these bad things. We can say, I know God's real. I trust in him. I know that bad things are coming from you, and you are a liar. My faith will sustain me through it. We need a strong faith to prepare us for situations like that. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we need to remember our salvation, won for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. And we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That brings us back. We need God's word with us so we can engage the spiritual enemy and confront him with the word of God.
Yes.
Amen. Our spiritual emergency kits should be full of supplies, and we need to have lots of experience using them all. Because you could have the best equipment ever in an emergency kit. If you have no idea how to use any of it, it's not going to do you any good. And so with our spiritual emergency kits, we need to have lots of practice with all of them, putting on the full armor of God. We need to be prepared in that way. All right, the third P of preparation, persistence. We have to stick with it.
Yes.
We're never finished getting prepared. You're never like done. Okay, I'm prepared. Doomsday preppers don't ever stop prepping. Because seeds don't last forever. The seeds that they're going to plant to grow their food, you have to replenish those periodically. The seed will die and it won't grow anything. Gasoline stored up in barrels, it won't just last forever. It goes bad. You have to periodically get new stuff. And the skills that they've trained themselves to have won't last forever if they don't practice them. So they have to constantly be reminding themselves and practicing and prepping themselves for that doomsday scenario. The same is true for first responders. They constantly train and remind themselves of what to do in certain situations, how to react, how to be prepared for any and every situation that they might encounter. So they never stop preparing, and we need to persevere in preparing. We need to be persistent. We need to keep working every day. It needs to remain a priority for us. And every day we need to work like it is our top priority. We've got to keep at it all the time. Even if when we start out, we're not that good at it. Keep working. You get stronger. You get better over time. And we need to always get better. We never get to a place where we can't get any better in our faith. We can always grow and learn new things and learn how to apply new things. Earlier, we read from the book of Galatians when it said that if you sow to the flesh, you will ultimately reap destruction, but if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Well, the very next verse, Galatians 6:9, says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." We need to not grow weary in our preparations. But why would it tell us not to grow weary? Obviously, because we do. We can grow weary. Preparing is hard work. It can tire you out, but we need to keep at it. We need to be persistent. We need to persevere. And we need to be encouraged to persevere and not give up, because preparation, being prepared, can be painful. We have to give up certain things to focus on what is most important. There's a football game on, or the show I really like to watch, you know, but I also haven't spent time in prayer today. I haven't read my Bible today, and that's more important to me, so I'm going to have to catch that TV show later. I got to do this right now. I got $5 in my wallet, and there's something I'd really like to spend it on, a Whopper or a Frappuccino or something. But this guy doesn't have any food at all. And the Bible says that whatever we do unto the least of these, we do unto Christ. And I love Christ, and I know that Jesus loves this person, and I know he's made in the image of God, so as much as I would like to spend this $5 on something for me, it's a higher priority for me to let him have it. I have to give it up to focus on the thing that is my top priority. Being prepared in that way means sometimes you got to give stuff up. It can be a little bit painful. Not only that, first responders can have some painful moments. Just imagine all the unpleasant things that cops and firefighters and paramedics have to see and to deal with. When they run into these dangerous situations, they're running towards danger. And they have to be prepared to deal with that. They're actually risking their own lives and safety to go and handle this dangerous situation. And on top of that, they're dealing with emergencies, car wrecks, shootings, all kind of gnarly stuff. They're going to see some things that can be really upsetting. And they have to be prepared to move on, to keep going, to do what needs to be done in that emergency situation and not be like, oh, that's awful. This is so sad. This is terrible. They got to focus and be ready. Being prepared in that way can be painful. From personal experience, we went to the Villaggio yesterday. Dean and Kathy were there. It was very good. Jeremy was there. We love going there. If you don't know, the Villaggio is an Alzheimer's care facility. They have several residents who have Alzheimer's or dementia or other mental issues, and they live there and people take care of them there. And every other week we go out there and we meet with them and we sing some hymns with them and we pray with them, and it seems to brighten their day. We try to show them the love of Christ just by being there for them once in a while, because Jesus loves them too. And it's an uplifting thing. If you've ever thought about participating, I would encourage you to do it. But at the same time, it can be a kind of painful thing. Some folks that have gone in the past have quit going because some of the residents at the Villaggio that were there when we first started several years ago aren't there anymore. And some of the folks that when we first started were very sharp and vibrant and lively aren't so sharp and vibrant anymore. And that can be very sad to see. But nevertheless, I still want to bring them joy and share the love of Christ with them. And so I got to be prepared to love on them and to keep going back and sing with whoever's there that day. Yes. It can be painful, but we grow through pain. When you're working out, man, sometimes your muscles get sore, but that's how they grow. We as people grow through pain. And so even though preparedness can be painful, we got to persist. We've got to persevere and be prepared. Keep it up. Persevere. Run the race with endurance. Being prepared, even with its painful moments, is much better than being caught unprepared. All right? Now, that was the three P's of preparation. Persistence, pack, and priorities. All right? But there's one more that's even more important in getting prepared for spiritual emergencies. All right? The Holy Spirit. There's a P in there. That counts, right? Well, or if that's not good enough, how about the power of the Holy Spirit? All right? Boom. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit active in us. That will get us prepared. All right? Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Jesus says, "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." You're already prepared if the Holy Spirit is alive in you. It will give you what you need in the moment you need it. But that's not to say that we don't need the three P's of preparation. We still need to have our priorities right. We still need to pack the right equipment, and we still need to persevere in our faith. But the best way to get prepared is to get in contact with the Holy Spirit of God, and he will help us with those other three P's. All right? Using our first responder metaphor, The Holy Spirit's kind of like a dispatcher. Police and firemen and paramedics, they usually have like a radio link back to home base that's telling them, okay, you need to go down this street, and then you take a left. You're looking for a green building. You're going to go in there. You look for a man in a striped shirt. These are his symptoms. You need to go there and do this. Well, the Holy Spirit can be kind of like that for us. It's going to be like, hey, look over there. That man needs some prayer. You ought to go pray with him. He looks okay to me. No, seriously. And then you go and ask, hey, may I pray with you? Is there anything you want to pray about? And he breaks down. He's like, man, I've been struggling with this for so long. I'm so glad you offered to pray with me. Because the Holy Spirit can see things that we can't. The Holy Spirit knows where spiritual emergencies are happening all around us. And you can be the first responder that it sends in to tackle that situation. The Holy Spirit helps remind us of what is the top priority, what should be the top priority in our life. And it can convict us when we're not living like Jesus is the top priority. The Holy Spirit dispenses the tools in our spiritual emergency pack, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. They come from the Holy Spirit. If you want your spiritual emergency kit filled up, get the Holy Spirit and you will have the tools you need. And the Holy Spirit can help us to persevere when we would otherwise quit. It can give us strength and peace to keep going, to keep running the race. So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. So now, my question to you is, how prepared are you? Sometimes I go to safety and emergency preparedness presentations, and they make me feel a little bit uneasy, you know, because they remind me of how unprepared I am for some things. They make me realize, oh man, I'm not that prepared. The point is that they should motivate me to get prepared. When I see a gap, okay, I need to work in that area. I need to get prepared. Well, if this message has made you feel a little uneasy, that's all right. Let it be motivation to get spiritually prepared. We all need to be working on our spiritual emergency preparedness. If you realize that you've been asleep in your faith, then wake up. Get prepared. The time is now. There will never be a better time to start getting prepared than right now. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Jesus is coming back, y'all. And it's coming sooner. It's sooner right now than it was when I started this message. We're closer to it right now than we were at the start of the day, at the start of the month. We are closer to it right now than when you first heard the name of Jesus, all right? So it's time to start getting prepared. You will face spiritual emergencies in your life. It will happen. And they're coming like a thief in the night. They will show up unannounced. All of a sudden, bam, spiritual emergency. Will you be prepared? Will you be prepared to be a first responder? Or will you have to rely on someone else to be your spiritual first responder? What if nobody's around? You need to be prepared. We all need to be ready to handle these spiritual emergencies when they show up. If you're feeling a little underprepared, there is something that you can do about it right now, right in this place, in this very moment. At the end of service every week, we open the altar and we invite everyone to come and spend some time in prayer. You can talk to God right now. These altars are open. Talk to Him about how you need to get spiritually prepared. Come and talk to Him about your priorities. Talk to Him about what you pack in your spiritual emergency kit. Talk to Him and ask Him for encouragement to persevere. And if you're in this place and you're thinking to yourself, well, I think I'm actually pretty well prepared. I think I'm okay. I would encourage you to come and still talk to God. Ask Him what areas you might have overlooked. What might you be missing? We're never done preparing. We always have new places, new areas in which we need to grow. So come and talk to God about that today. Let's get prepared.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.